brilliance of his glory and the excellence of his virtue. We've been studying on Wednesday nights about the spiritual inheritance that we have in Christ and how Paul prayed that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be given to each and every one of us. He didn't say it in those exact words, but it was his prayer that God would grant. You know what a grant is? Something that's freely given to you that you don't have to pay back. Praise God. Anybody gone to college? You know, a loan is better, is worse than a grant. A grant is much better than a loan. A grant, you don't have to pay back. You just receive it. Use it for what it's for. But that God would grant the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. Through this, I now know that I have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So God has called you to be a participator, a partaker of the glory. Well, God says he won't share his glory with anyone. We're not just anyone. We're his offspring. We're his sons and daughters. We must remember this. There's God the Father. Jesus is the glory of God. Man is the glory of Jesus. And woman or the wife is the glory of man. That's God's protocol. That's God's order. There's a level of glory on you that God has graciously shared with each and every one of us. Everything that we do, we are to do for his glory. The Bible says something like this, something like what? The earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, if you will. That's you and I, everywhere we go, glorifying God. The anointing and the power of God that he releases on us will work in any and every arena. It will work in the home with a mother or a father and their offspring, their children. It'll work in the church with the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and the saints, the bishops and the elders, the deacons, all of the laborers, the children that are coming up in the ministry. His glory will work there. It'll work on the job. It'll work wherever you are. In any arena, the power and the glory of God, the anointing of God on you will work because it'll all bring glory to God. It's not something we use for entertainment to where the attraction is drawn to us. We're the man, or we're the woman, or we're this group, if you will. No, it is to glorify God. Now, God is not going to put something on you that's going to put him to shame. But he will put something on you that will bring him glory and honor. And that he freely gives to each and every one of us. Whatever we lack, all we have to do is ask. Ask, seek, knock, and it shall happen. Jesus says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. What is he saying to us? He's saying, look, I'm setting before you this open door of opportunity to do what you could not do within yourself, but I came and made it possible for you. Now take advantage of it. He doesn't give us something with room for doubt and questioning. He doesn't speak it in a manner that would cause doubts or questionings. He speaks in the affirmative. He speaks with direct and power, with direct communication, for lack of better words. He doesn't mince words, if you will, so that you would not be able to figure out where Jesus is coming from. So Peter says, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Boy, I got so excited. What happened here? Here we go. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises, anybody up at camp remember what was written in that scripture verse that Minister Patton had shared on, what was it, Friday night or Saturday? Friday night, I think it was. By these promises, nobody remembers. That's why I'm here to remind you. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll take a real quick trip there. Pardon? I can't hear you. A firm grip. Oh, glory be to God. A firm grip. I got to get the right verse, and I got to get the right translation, because I want to share it with you again. It was so good, and it relates right here where we're at. Just bear with me. We're not in a hurry when it comes to truth. Praise God. I'm almost there. Here we go. I thought I highlighted it. I did. So let's do it. Praise God. Did I wake you up? So let's do it. What? Full of belief or faith, confident that we're presentable inside and out, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. Don't forget that. That was very good. Here, representing the promise, keep a firm grip. Why? Because it's the very thing that keeps us going. That's the Message translation for those of you who wondering why King James doesn't say exactly that. But hold fast, if you will, to the promises of God, because these are the things that keep us going. It's our motivation. It's our incentive. Yes, we're moved by love. God loves us. We love him back. But in that love, God still educates us as his sons and daughters. Paul said it like this: I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. We come to God ignorant. We don't know of his ways. But then we learn of his ways, and then we hold fast to every promise that he makes to us. It keeps us going. It keeps us alive. It keeps us pressing on. In the wait, we wait not with doubt. We wait with expectation. Paul even says it like this: one does not hope for the things that he sees, but for the things that he does not see. Why am I going to hope for something I don't see? You know how people live. I got to see it. You got to show me. I haven't seen anything. It's been so long. But faith, holding that firm grip on the promise, causes me to never give up and never quit till I see the glory and the manifestation of God revealed. It may look stupid to some. It may look ridiculous to others. They may even say things about you. You've been waiting all that time. You've been doing that for so long. You've been going to church and ain't nothing happened. Hold on. Hold on. Hold. Let them talk. Let them talk. Let them mock. Let them ridicule you. But you know that by holding firm to the promise of God, that's the key to its fulfillment in your life. If you don't grow weary while you're doing well, you will reap if you don't faint. It's a promise of God. Don't get tired of waiting. Not when you got the promise. Listen, according to biblical standards, the planet and humanity are only 6,000 years. Only been in existence for 6,000 years. Well, the scientists say this. Well, they weren't back there. I'd rather count on and depend on somebody who was back there who knows exactly when things took place. Well, you're ignorant. Well, I'll be ignorant, praise God. I'll be ignorant with God. You ignore the truth and the facts. No, I'm holding fast to the truth and the facts. So, with mankind being on this planet, now, as far as the universe, as far as God, he has no beginning. So you can't put a number on him. He always was, always is, and always will be. But concerning mankind, Adam sinned in the day one, sometime in that period. When he sinned, everything fell out of kilter. God made a promise in the garden. He said he would raise up a seed from the woman. A woman doesn't carry the seed, the man does. Which meant God was going to put the seed in the woman to be birthed. That's why we believe that Christ was born of a virgin. Joseph was his earthly father to be recognized, but God the Father is Jesus' paternal father. So, 4,000 years later, everybody say 4,000. How many of you know that's a long time? That is a long time. 4,000 years later, God fulfills what he told Adam, Eve, and the devil in the garden. He said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed, devil, and the seed of the woman. He says, your seed is going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. 4,000 years later, God fulfilled it. He raised up the patriarchs to point towards it. He raised up the judges to declare it. He raised up the prophets to decree that it would come. Even though the prophets were prophesying of Jesus coming, they didn't fully understand. Isaiah was like, you know, on the one hand, he's prophesying of this king coming, but then it's like he's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He's prophesying about the Messiah, but he's not prophesying like he's coming in great kingly power and authority. He's like, something's going to happen. So he's trying to figure this out, and Peter's the one who says it. He says the prophets and even the angels couldn't figure out God's whole plan of salvation. But they could prophesy to the degree that God allowed them to prophesy based on what he revealed to them by the Spirit. But they were prophesying, and each time they prophesied, it was confirming the promise that would one day come. What am I saying? For our short span of life, we hold fast to the promises. They keep us going. Why do you keep going? Because the promise of God is true. It's yes and amen. Well, why do you do this? Because the promise of God. I'm holding fast to the promise. Why do you still believe? Because the promise of God is not man that he should lie. He's not like no man that will lie to you, cheat you, or deceive you. God is a God of peace. God is a God of truth. God is a God who is reliable. I can hold fast to him. Jesus said this. What did he say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, it's not going to pass away. It's going to be fulfilled in its time. 4,000 years, boom, Jesus is on the scene. Then he dies, crucified, buried in a grave. 3 days later, boom, holding fast to the promise. He ascended to seat at the right hand of the Father. where he is right now positionally. But he's coming again. You read your Bible. That's what the saints were saying. He's coming again. They lived it on a daily basis. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. Here 2,000 years later, we're still saying he's coming again. Will you be ready when he comes? Because he's coming again. The Bible, it just points towards God's fulfillment. The promises of God in Christ are yes. And all this represents is the promise. Okay, I'm not, you know, and I hope I don't burst it. But, the grip, I can grip it. And I hope it doesn't bust like a balloon. The grip on the promises of God, yes. I can put my hope in it and not be, oh, I hope I don't get, you know, I hope it works. I hope he doesn't fail me again or, you know, it's like, no, I hope, I expect. What do you expect? I expect God to do what he said he was going to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me just 7 more minutes of your time and I'll be done for today. So let's do it. Look at your neighbor and say, let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. In other words, we can go boldly before the throne of grace. We can go in the very presence of God. We are acceptable in Christ. Hallelujah. The adversary will try and condemn you. You'll think of things of the past and it'll try and bring you down. All the attacks come against your faith. Separating you, trying to, from God, to believe in his word. Satan creates doubts in the minds of people to get them to question God. One day they will have to stand before him and give an account. So it says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Oh, praise God. The Bible says that, yeah. He always keeps his word. So now, why did I get all animated and all into that? Because in Peter, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So what do we do with the promises? Keep a firm grip. Hold fast. Never let go. Never give up. You get that? Hallelujah. This will bring you through all kind of troubled waters. Yeah. That by these, listen to this, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, this is even for those who would say, and it's not putting down, but it's just a living reality. I want more of God. Okay. Well, you're not going to get him over here at a nightclub. You're not going to get him over here at a baseball game. You're not going to get him. You're going to get him where he can be found. Can he be found at a baseball game? Yeah, somebody can lead you to the saving knowledge of the truth right there on the spot of the baseball game. But if you're going to go seek God and you're going over there to the A's game, now I hope nobody's going to an A's game. Are the A's still playing? And are they still playing baseball? Yeah, because it's not October. So I hope nobody's going to see the A's game. And if you are, don't feel condemned by what I'm saying. But if it's like, I'm going to the A's game, you ain't going to the A's to seek God. You're going to the A's game to enjoy the baseball game. Okay? Now, God may do something there, but you're not going to get him there. Well, do I have to go to church? You don't have to go to church, but you ought to. Why? Because you are the church. Without us, this is just a building. You know, tomorrow we leave. Next day, that baseball thing might expand over here. Next thing you know, all of the curtains gone, all of the lights gone, all the platform gone, and they just got equipment in here to beat baseballs with. But because we're here, it's the church. Because we're here, this ground is holy. Because we're here, light shines in the darkness. Hallelujah. So this is one of the places that you can come and seek God. This is one of the places you can come and get more of him, because there'll be less of you. Why? Because you're not doing what your desires are, which will pull you in every direction. There's so many things out there that appeal to the eyes, if you will. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So many things out there that can pull you away from God. So if you want more of God, you're going to have to go where God is. It could be at home on your knees. Then again, it could be, it may not be at home, because this is probably the closest that many come to Jesus outside these doors. We behave just like the world. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody or make anybody feel bad, but we go out there and we just act just like the world. We think like them, we talk like them, we cuss like them. Why'd you have to say cuss? Because when you get saved and born again, you're not to allow any filthy corruption, any filthy communication come out of your lips. You're not supposed to let perverse things come out of your lips. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Holy things come out of a holy temple. Sanctified things come out of a holy temple. Things that are pleasing to say before God, because after all, we are talking right before him. God is in every place at all times. He sees everything that's going on. We can hide nothing from him. You can't hide your last thought that you thought about me. Like, shut up. No. I'm just having fun. You can't hide a thought from God. And the thing of it is that one day we have to stand before him and give an account for the deeds and the actions that we've done here on earth. That's a sobering thing. It's not condemnation. It's just, it's sobering. It's like, man, really? Yeah, really. God will bring everything before me. Everything you have not repented of, he'll bring it before you. And with God, repentance is turning away from it. It's not, saying, I'm sorry I did that, and then go do some more stuff. And then say, I'm sorry for doing that, and then go do some more stuff. God is like, no, you're not sorry. Your life doesn't reflect a sorrowful, a godly sorrow. It reflects a worldly sorrow. You know? And so, again, here we go. The promises we hold fast to with a firm grip. Because by these, he says, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And you know, the way that is written, and I am not trying to paraphrase or trying to go into my own personal interpretation of it, but that word might be partakers means that it just doesn't happen automatically. Because if we will not pursue the promises, if we will not pursue the life that God calls us to, then these things might not happen. You follow that? Is that on the... Okay, y'all good. That by these, you might be... Now, what do you think God wants? Might be. That might be fulfilled, that we would be. That we will be partakers of the divine nature. Talking about the nature of God. Not of a fallen nature of mankind. Not of the spirit of the world. Not of the nature in the world. But of God's nature. Well, I thought I had the Holy Spirit in me. Yeah. But he's not there just to keep us as we are. He's there to bring us up into who we are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. He's there to bring us into kingdom living, royalty. He's there to remove all of the scars and the pains and everything that we went through. Remember, Henry Aaron Killings could have been Gregory if my mother would have had her way. But my dad said, wait, no, I'm looking for a name. He got that name. He said, name him Henry Aaron. And so, you know, everything that may have happened in my dad's life, everything that may have happened in my grandfather's life, everything that may have happened in my great-grandfather's life, you know that hereditary thing that passes on and that fallen nature that passes on? You know, if daddy was an alcoholic, you an alcoholic. Granddaddy was an alcoholic, daddy was an alcoholic. If great-granddaddy was an alcoholic, granddaddy was an alcoholic, and daddy was an alcoholic, so son becomes an alcoholic because it just spreads from one generation to the next, if you will. And that curse has to be broken. And it can only be broken by the power of Almighty God. And that's why God wants us to partake of his nature rather than the nature of the world, the nature of our family, if you will. No, his divine nature, supreme, godly nature might be, meaning it doesn't happen automatically. But if we follow suit and hold fast, keep a firm grip on those promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives, we will be partakers of the nature of God. And then that's when whatever the Father and Jesus are saying, revealing to the Holy Ghost, will say it to us, and we say it in the earth. And it is so. Because God's looking for agreement down here on earth, not disagreement. He's looking for accord, not discord. He's looking for unity, not division. He's looking for peace, not strife. Yeah. He's looking to establish his kingdom. Remember, righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants in each and every one of our lives. Well, do we have to do all of that? Praise God. Isn't that a pitiful thing to say? It's not all of that. It's life in the kingdom. We learned things of the world, and we did things like the world. Now we're learning things in the kingdom so that we can do the things in the kingdom. And the thing of it is, the kingdom is not this visible, you know, structure like, you know, in Great Britain, if you will, or where does the queen live? She lives in London somewhere, right? She lives in the palace. Yeah, she lives in luxury. And all of those that are with her live in luxury as well. Well, they operate like that, but it's not that natural kingdom. This kingdom is spirit. This is why when the Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, that's where it really counts. That's where it really matters. Why? Because it takes the realm of the spirit to bring things forth here in the natural. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. That kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Your spirit inherits every promise, which makes you successful at whatever you do. Because the kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. It's not intimidated by any other kingdom out there. God does not compete with the world. The world is no competition. God doesn't compete with the devil. There's no competition. God is God. He's content with himself and his ways. It was the prophet Malachi who said, speaking on behalf of God, I am the Lord, I change not. That's confidence. Hallelujah. Everything has to come his way, And he's our dad. And we're his sons and daughters, his offspring. His kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom, eternal. And that's the kingdom that we're of. Now we live as the heirs of God and partake of the very nature of God. In other words, God's nature living on the inside of us. The very spirit that raised Jesus now lives in us. Zoe, don't sell yourself short. You have everything you need. You can learn anything you want to learn. Just make sure that what you do learn never supplants what God has given you. It's all secondary to his kingdom, to his righteousness, to his power, his authority. God is in charge. Everybody else falls in line with him. That makes sense. So now with that, whatever arena you step in, whether it be big, whether it be small, whether it just be you, the kingdom works. Personally, it works. At home, it works. On the job, it works. In the marketplace, it works. In politics, it works. People won't work it, but it works. The kingdom bows to no one. I'll say it because I saw it. Remember how it was when Gideon, God was raising up Gideon. And they put Dagon next to, what was it? Was it the ark? Yeah. Okay. The next day they came in, what happened? He fell over. The kingdom of God bows to no one. So they tried to prop it up again. And what happened when they came in again? He didn't just fall over. He broke his hands, head, and everything broke off of him. The kingdom bows to no one because it is the everlasting kingdom. And that's the kingdom that you're of, and that's the kingdom that is within you. You meditate upon that. You hold fast to the promises of that. To see it fulfilled, you hold fast, you hold firm to it. It's what keeps you going. Doubt and unbelief won't keep you going. Be passing you up like we're on the freeway and you're still driving in city limit, speed limit. It's like, no. Hallelujah. Cultivate that divine nature, which is what Peter talks about. As you go on in that passage, you take time to go ahead and read it. Part of those promises is adding to your faith. So what's the first thing you get? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. First thing God gives you is faith. And then from faith you build. Faith alone, not going to cut it. Add to it. I believe. Okay, now add to it. Okay, now strengthen yourself. Now exercise your faith. Now cultivate kingdom culture within your life with that faith. Promises you'll never be barren. You'll never be short-sighted. You'll be fruitful all the days of your life. you will live out what the psalmist said. Even in their old age, they're still bearing fruit. This ain't no retirement thing here. This is eternal. Praise God. I'm going to stop because the more I talk, the better it starts to get to me. Jesus. Can you just pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute? Just 1 minute. It's only 12:13. Hallelujah. Breshikidi baku mama mamaku. Brako kokotoria mama mama mamaku hurabakutu baba baba bakoho. Breke kitiridia baba 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 kondaria baba baba kondoria sikidi baku mama mama maha. Brishkiti bedela baku baba 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 kondoria sikidi bekine ne makoho. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah. There's power in those words. That power is to be released in each and every one of our lives in what we do. That we are fruitful and productive in what we do. God told Joshua, if you obeyed my commandments, you're going to prosper and have good success. Don't stop speaking this word. Meditate in it day and night. So that what you do, as the psalmist David said, whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Don't wait on no supervisor to prosper. Don't wait on somebody to spot you out, to give you your opportunity. God's already sought you out to give you your opportunity that you may glorify his name in the earth. God has already blessed you and empowered you and is infusing you with power. Why? That his name may be glorified in the earth. Just don't forget who gave it to you. Just don't forget who opened the door for you. Just don't forget where he brought you from to the place he's brought you to while he's taking you to a higher place, a wealthy place. Don't forget. Remember the Lord your God. It is he who causes you to get wealth that his covenant can be established. Remember, hey, remember, hey, remember, 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 remember. Remember, remember, remember. Lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, bless the works of my hands. And just pray in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, bless the works of your hands. And may the Lord anoint your mind. May the Lord give you the ability to comprehend all things that are set before you that will cause you to prosper. If it's studying, that you study and you learn those things that you need to know for the job that you're trying to do or get to, or for the job you already have to get better at, to develop and hone the skills. May the Lord give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation like he did with Bezalel and the other who created the furniture and all for the tabernacle. May the Lord anoint you with fresh oil even this day. May the Lord infuse you with mighty power that every barrier be broken down in Jesus' name. May the Lord give you confidence, boldness, for the righteous are as bold as a lion. Step out and step up into the things of God. Make these days count. Make these weeks count. Make these years count. Make this time count. This life that you have on this earth, make it count for the glory of God in Jesus' name. When Peter talks about you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful, that word barren that he talks about means lazy. May the Lord take away that spirit of laziness, that lethargic spirit, and energize us by the power of the Holy Ghost that causes us to be diligent, to be productive, to be outgoing. In the name of Jesus, I pray again for creative ideas and witty inventions, and I pray for the wisdom, for the giftings to come forth in Jesus' mighty name. You have power. You have dunamis. It's the power that belongs to the wealthy. It's explosive power that God releases in the lives of his sons and daughters, but it's a power that we can recognize that the wealthy possess. And that's in you and on you. Crowning achievements, surpassing victories. And let's say this so loud that the devil will scream and take off running. Come on, something good is about to happen. On the count of three. One, two, three. Something good is about to happen. Yeah, get a Lord a hand of praise. Get a Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Let your faith soar. Let your faith soar. Let your faith soar. Let your faith soar. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Praise God. Sister Yvonne, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. You believe? I do. I'm required to. So are you. The just are required to believe, to live by faith. Yeah. I'm not saying go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Father, let it be according to our faith. Let it be according to thy word. For as Mary said unto the angel Gabriel when he announced that great news to her, her words were, be it unto me according to your word. So let it be according to your word, Master. I pray the power of the blessing over each and every one, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will conquer and triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God. In Jesus' name, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed as you go. Remember, we won't have prayer this evening. We will resume in the month of August. You got this Sunday and next Sunday off, and then we'll get back at it in Jesus' mighty name. We love you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget the petition. The referendum is going around.